my name is Jim. I'm an alcoholic. Sobriety date is April 15, 2007. This is my home group, Tampa Bay Young People's Group. I have a sponsor, and I'm available to sponsor others. I'm very nervous up here. I'm not really a big speaker, but I'll do my best. Let's see what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I'm originally from a city called Waltham, up in Massachusetts. I come from a pretty normal family. My parents did the best they could growing up. They were divorced when I was about 6 years old. I got an older brother and a younger sister. I don't know when it was, but at a certain point I started to feel really uncomfortable. I think it was, around middle school. I always, growing up, my mom always told me how, I wasn't, I would go up and talk to anybody. I would just start conversations with people. And then at some point in my life that changed and I became real uncomfortable in social situations. I didn't, didn't matter, guy, girl, I don't really know what it was. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't feel comfortable. I was into playing sports growing up. I wanted to be a baseball player for as long as I could remember. And I don't know, that's really what I did. Let's see. I guess I had my first drink, first time I had a drink, I think I was like 12 or 13. I didn't really care for it. It was a warm Bud Light that was sitting down in the basement. I heard some of my other friends talking about, alcohol and stuff, so I gave it a shot. I didn't really drink enough of it to experience any of the effects of it, so, I didn't drink for a while. And then it was about, I was 17 when I was in high school, and, that's all I heard. I heard people talking about, drinking on the weekends, and I felt left out. I wasn't very good at talking to girls and stuff like that, and that was really my main reasoning for it, was just to, I felt like I was missing something, I don't know, somebody said really hit me is, I didn't stop drinking to have a spiritual experience, but that's definitely what it was for me. It changed the way that I saw the world. It changed what I wanted to do from the first time I got drunk and I experienced the true effect of alcohol. That's what I wanted to do. So that was about the end of my junior year of high school, and from then on I was drinking as much as I could. It's a little harder when you can't buy your own booze. But I don't know, I always figured it out. And up there, the good thing is in the wintertime you keep the beer right in your trunk, it's a refrigerator on wheels, so that's what I do. If I, during the week I drive around in my car with a couple friends, listen to music and just, have some beers. And, I look back on it now and I remember I'd be at the house, and I don't know if this was before I started drinking, shortly before, but I know it was when I was in high school, and I'd just be sitting at the house, and I was always into pacing. I'd pace around. I'd always make my mother real nervous. She'd tell me, stand still, you make me nervous. And even when I was younger, I was always asking her, what do we have? She's cooking dinner, and I'm asking her what we're having tomorrow night. That's how it always was. I always wanted to know what's next, So that's what I do, And on the weekends, it was a lot easier, because I could, it was easy to come home. My mother never really busted my balls about being drunk or anything. It was just kind of, she figured that's what I was going to do. So it wasn't really that hard, and she was out, doing her thing or whatever. And so it wasn't like she was, trying to police me or anything. It was actually pretty cool. So, you know, that, like I said, that's what I do. And on the weekends, I get hammered, me and my friends. And then there was a couple of us that wanted to drink every night if we could, just like I did. And so that's what I did. And, you know, I was around that time starting to apply to colleges and stuff. And that's pretty much what brought me down here. I attended the University of Tampa. And it's funny because I remember I came home drunk on a school night once, and I don't know, my mother, she, like I said, she was cool, but I guess just not during the week, she didn't really like it. But you know, on the weekends it was cool. And but I came home drunk on a weeknight, and she threatened to, you know, not let me come down here to go to school. And I, you know, I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, are you kidding me? You know, I'm up just having a few beers, and you know, it was just, I don't know, that was, but obviously she let me. I mean, you know, I don't know how that went down, but I'm here. So, you know, I attended the University of Tampa, and you know, at the time, like I said, I'd only been drinking for about a year and a half at that time, but I was, you know, I was already a heavy drinker, and I was drinking as much as possible every day if I could, and. I came here, and my intentions were to, you know, I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to own a golf course. I was always thinking big, you know, I would make a lot of money or something like that. But, you know, I didn't have any people skills or any really drive to, you know, go to class really or do well in class. I'd always go to class, but I wasn't, it's funny because I've heard people say that here, that they, you know, they couldn't make it to class. I'd always go to class. I'd just be stoned or drunk or whatever, and I was just a waste of air really in there, you know. I started to get into trouble pretty early with, you know, on campus with the alcohol and everything. You know, now that I think about it, I had to take some alcohol course on the internet. You know, a couple months in, and I don't think I finished it. I signed up for it so I could get out of some trouble there, and you know, like I said, I was getting in trouble, and it was around that time where I started to black out when I drank. I drank to get drunk, but I didn't really black out. I could usually pretty much remember what happened. But it was around that time, you know, I started to black out when I drink, you know. And, you know, and I think that's when the, you know, the embarrassment started. You know, you start hearing about, I started hearing about things that I said the night before. And, it, you know, at first it's funny, you know, but then after, you know, 150, 200 times, it gets embarrassing, you know. And then I get to the point where I don't even want to hear it anymore. You know, I'm avoiding people. I don't want to see my friends anymore because I don't want to hear about the, you know, the foolish sayings or whatever it was that I did the night before. But that, you know, that's what was happening. I'm blacking out and getting into trouble. They were threatening to kick me off campus pretty early on. So I'd always try to straighten things out, and I'm not drinking anymore, and all this. I don't know how many times I quit drinking. A lot. Hundreds. I'd tell all my friends, you know, I'm done, that's it. And then, you know, I'd give them, you know, it was usually some drugs or some, what, you know, I'll leave it at that, whatever it was. And then, you know, I'm the type of guy that an hour later I'm asking for it back or asking them to do it with me, you know. And like, and they're like, I thought you were done. And, you know, I changed my mind, you know. And that's what happened with me a lot, is I changed my mind. So, you know, I'm carrying on like that, drinking, not trying not to drink. You know, and every semester I come back here, I'd go home and party for the summer and whatever, and then I come back here with good intentions. It's time to grow up. I'm gonna get it together this semester, and you know, make my mom proud. You know, and because I always had to, you know, I'd give her the crap about what I'm doing down here and how busy I am, and I'm just really going to class, and that's about it. And she's, you know, and that was always weighing on me because she's working hard up there. She's working three jobs at certain points, and you know, I'm down here just really goofing off, you know. And So that was always, you know, that was always on my mind. And, you know, eventually it gets tougher to lie to people that you care about. For me, I can't. That's the toughest thing for me. I can lie to somebody I don't care about. But when I'm doing it to my family and to a girlfriend or whatever, it's, you know, that's the stuff that really, really gets to me. And so, you know, obviously I had to do that. So like I said, I'm going on like that. You know, at a certain point there, I started working at a bar around my junior year, and it was, you know, like I said, it was on and off the same thing. I'm drinking, I'm not drinking, I'm trying not to drink. So, you know, I figured a friend of mine gave me a job at a bar, and, you know, that's a good place to stop drinking, you know. And it just so happened they were very, very liberal about, you know, drinking on the job and everything. It was perfect, really, for a while. It was, you know, I could go there and, you know, wake up out of a blackout with, you know, $300 in my pocket or whatever, you know. It was awesome. You know, so I'm doing that for a while, and you know, I'm still in school. Eventually, I dropped out. Really, you know, a couple of years ago, I had a different story. It was, well, you know, I'm out of money and this and that. But I dropped out. You know, I didn't want to go anymore. And I remember I told my mother that I don't really want to go to school anymore. And this is like, you know, we're like $100,000 in, you know. And she's like, well, what are you kidding me? You're gonna finish? You know, I've been busting my ass up here to get you to go to a private school and all this. And I didn't really care. You know, I knew I didn't want to go anymore. And that's all I really cared about was myself. So, you know, I'm, you know, going through the motions at school, working in the bar, and still blacking out all the time, driving home drunk all the time. You know, I would get into trouble there. They would threaten to fire me, and then I would straighten up for a while because, you know, I was like, I'm blacking out on the job. And, you know, I guess it's cool to drink, but not to black out. I can't, it's like if I'm drinking, I'm either drinking or I'm not, you know. And I knew that from a pretty early time during my drinking. It was probably after about 2 or 3 years that I don't have any control over, the only way to not get drunk is to not drink, you know, or to not black out, for me, is to not drink, you know. So I would tell my friends that, and they didn't, you know, it's like they didn't understand it. They'd say, you know, you going out tonight? And I'd be like, no, I don't think so, man. I don't want to black out, you know. I don't want all the stuff that happened last week and all this. And you know, they'd be like, well, just don't drink so much, you know. Don't stop. I don't think I'm going to do it tonight, you know. Because I knew that. I knew that if I'm drinking, I have no control over what's going to happen, what I'm going to say, really, you know, where I'm going to go. I never really went anywhere too crazy. I usually had enough money to get drunk that night, and that's about it, you know. I never ended up in, you know, across the country or anything like that. So I'm working at this bar, and, you know, it just, something always felt wrong. And what got tougher for me the longer I drank was, you know, was when I'd come out of it. And when I'd sober up, I'd wake up the next morning. And that's really what really, not really like how drunk I got or the way I felt physically, but the way I felt emotionally and the way I felt spiritually when I wake up just continued to get worse and worse the longer that I drank, you know. And so, like I said, I try to quit a lot because I just didn't feel right, you know. But I can't quit on my own. I can't stay stopped on my own. And so eventually, you know, I got fired from that bar when I was in a blackout. I got into it with the manager there. That's what I believed it to be. I guess I dared her to fire me, is what I was told later, you know, because they really needed me there. Nobody can stock up the bar as good as me and all that, you know. So I got fired from there. And, you know, looking back, that was, you know, actually, I backtrack a little bit. Around that time, I'd gone to the Outback Bowl. started drinking at like 7 in the morning, and you know, I woke up around 7 at night out of a blackout, and I woke up, and my roommate's girlfriend was there, and I was like, and the first thing's on my mind, you know, hey, what's up, let's go to the bar and get a few shots, you know. So we did that, and then next morning I woke up again out of a blackout, and I couldn't walk, you know. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't walk. So I remember, and I was still having all these feelings when I'd wake up about, you know, just not feeling right. So I called my mother and tell her I was having kind of a tough time with alcohol, you know. And so she had me call her, my stepdad's brother, who's been in the program for, he's sober like 13 years now. And, you know, so he called me and we talked for a little while. And he told me, you know, what his story was. And he got the number for central office down here. And I called and I found an AA meeting, you know. And that was in 2005 or 2006. And, you know, so I went to the Bayshore group with Room to Grow. That was the first meeting I ever went to. And I don't know, I don't really remember much about it. Honestly, to this day, all I remember about it was somebody in there talking about a certain type of drug that at that point I hadn't tried. You know, and I was, and pretty shortly after that, you know, I had tried it, you know. So I don't know if I felt like I don't belong here because I haven't done that or what was going through my head, but I know that it wasn't too long after that meeting, just a couple months, I tried that, and I liked that too. But, you know, so I'd gone to an AA meeting there, and I didn't, you know, I still believed that, you know, I still had a desire not to drink, and but I believed that I could do it on my own, you know. I didn't really feel like AA was the answer. So I, you know, eventually I started drinking again, you know. Like I said, I don't know how many times I've decided, or, you know, I've written out contracts to myself saying on this date I'm going to stop drinking. I've, you know, sworn off, just like it says in the big book, quit, whatever. And every time I've picked up a drink again. And so, you know, like I said, I got fired from this bar. And then towards the end of my time there, I'd met a girl that worked there, and, you know, we started dating. I remember having that thought a lot, that I think Buddy kind of said something like that I, you know, if I can just find a girl that doesn't drink, you know, that'll fix me, you know. I'll hang out with her all the time, and, you know, I won't drink, and we won't drink together, and all that, you know. And so, you know, I started dating this girl, and it's funny because I look back and I remember telling her, you know, like that I didn't want to drink anymore. I'd say, I don't want to drink anymore. And she'd say, like most normal people say, well, so don't drink anymore, you know. And I'd try to explain to her, like, well, you know, you don't really understand, you know, I have to, you know. And I'd tell her stuff like, you know, you're going to be 21 soon, and you're going to want to go out drinking, and, you know, what am I going to do, you know, sit at home. And so it was just always stuff like that, but it was really, I just couldn't picture not drinking, you know. Shortly after that, you know, we moved in together, and it didn't go well for very long, you know. Because I remember telling her that, you know, I was an alcoholic. Like I said, at this point, I knew that, I don't know how I knew I was an alcoholic, but I knew I was, you know. I didn't know anything about AA or the medical, you know, description of an alcoholic or any of that, but I just, you know, I felt like I was, you know. And I told her that, and she said, I don't think you're an alcoholic, you know. And, you know, I think she changed her mind on that about 6 months later, you know. But, you know, like I said, we're living together and we're playing house and all that, and you know, I'm not capable of anything like that. And she doesn't really drink the way that I do. And, you know, without AA, you know, I gotta drink to handle a relationship like that, or I gotta have a program of action like Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't stand a chance. You know, so we're living together, and it was constantly, you know, I'd come home in a blackout. You know, I wasn't drinking daily at this time because I didn't want to drink. You know, I really, looking back, I didn't want to drink, but I didn't know how to not drink. You know, so I'd keep trying it over and over again. You know, and we were living on Davis Island, right over here, and you know, I'm within walking distance of, you know, 3 or 4 bars, living right behind the 7-Eleven for a little while. That was before, actually. I was across the street this time when I was living with her. You know, there's a few bars right there. And, you know, I don't know. I look back on it, and I think, like, at that time, which it was, I wasn't drinking like I was at my heaviest, but, and I'd say I didn't really drink that much then, but, you know, I could really go into any of the 3 bars that I went to there, and they knew what I was drinking, so, you know, I guess it was, I drank enough, but like I said, I wasn't a daily drinker, and, but what would happen is I'd come home in a blackout, and I'd be verbally abusive to her, and say all these things, and, I don't know, I guess, with where my mind was at and where I was at spiritually, I tell her I didn't mean it when I was sober because I didn't want to hurt her, but, you know, it was probably, I would tell her what I saw as the truth when I was in a blackout. You know, I would tell her the way that I saw things when I was in a blackout, you know, and how all the stuff that I was making up, you know. So that happened, you know, on and off, and every time it was, all right, you know, I'll never do that again, I'll never say those things, no, baby, I didn't mean that, and all, you know, all that stuff, and I'd do it again every time, you know, every time, I'd tell her I wasn't going to drink anymore, and, I would, every single time, and it always, during that time, it always started out, at that time, I wasn't drinking anymore to get drunk, that's just what happened, you know, I'd go to the bar to have a couple, because it seemed like a good idea, you know, you have a couple beers, and, you know, when I have a couple beers, I like whiskey, you know, that's what I go for then, I'm looking for some whiskey or some hard stuff, and, so that's what would happen. And I'd come home, and eventually what happened is I came home in a blackout, and this is all her telling me what happened, which is how it always was. And she never really could understand I never remembered what I said to her, and I didn't really know what had happened, and she never believed me. She just, I guess, doesn't understand that, you know. And it was the same thing. I woke up, and she told me that I'd hit her, threw her down and stuff like that, and I don't know, man, for me that was just I don't know, it was probably one of the lowest feelings I've ever had in my life. You know, I wasn't raised that way, and you know, I really didn't believe it, and you know, it was the same thing. She didn't believe that I didn't remember any of it, but I don't. To this day, I don't know what happened. She told me what happened, and it, you know, that morning physically, like I said, wasn't any different than most times that I drank. I woke up, I was next to the toilet all day, you know, withdrawing and all that from alcohol, and you know, but I remember her, you know, saying, you know, that's it. It's over. I'm not doing this anymore. And it's funny because I realized a while ago, I for a while I had a big resentment against her brother that I've never even met, you know. And the reason was because I remember after this had happened a bunch of times, she was telling him kind of what was going on with me, how I would black out and say all these things and everything. And, you know, and she probably told him, she probably believed my stuff, you know, that I'd say that I wasn't going to do that anymore and I'm not drinking anymore. And I remember she told me that he said that I was going to do it again, you know, and that really just pissed me off, you know, but because I think deep down I knew, because he was right, you know, I knew that he was right, you know, and, you know, looking back on it, I can see that, you know. And so, like I said, I did it again, and she said that was it, and I got to go, and so like I said, that morning wasn't any different, but she said to me a couple things that really hit home. You know, she said that, you know, and she wasn't angry like she was all the other times this had happened. She kind of looked at me with a sympathetic look, and she said, you know, Jimmy, you're sick, you know, you need help. And at that point, like, I knew she was right. You know, I knew that I had to stop drinking, and I was convinced that I couldn't do it on my own, you know. And so I did what I always did. I called, you know, I called my mom, and trying to get some comfort from her, you know. And she told me the same thing she told me last time too. Well, she had her brother-in-law call me, and you know, we talked just like the last time, and this time I was more willing to listen. You know, the time before he told me, you know, I think you should quit that job at the bar, you know, and I had all these excuses. Well, you know, I can't get another job, and all this, you know, and he didn't really buy it, you know, but he was just he's been around AA long enough to know that you know, we got all kinds of stories, you know, and I did. That's all I had was stories and excuses. And so, you know, I talked to him again, and he did the same thing. He gave me a number to central office, and I called again, and I found a meeting. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I waited a few days. I waited a couple days. That was on a Sunday. And that Tuesday, I woke up, and somebody had broken into my car, tried to steal it and all that. And, you know, I was on the edge, you know. I'm like, all right. I guess what I forgot to say was, you know, that last morning that I woke up from drinking, when my girlfriend at the time had told me what had happened, the first thing I did, you know, I was disgusted. I don't know. I can't really put into words the way I was feeling. I know how I felt. I'm sure most of you guys know how I felt, and I don't ever want to feel that way again. But what I did was I went into the kitchen, and I grabbed one of the butcher's knives that we had in there for cutting up steaks and stuff, and you know, I was still very much drunk. I'm out on the sidewalk, and what was going through my head was I was gonna go over to the channel and, you know, put the knife in myself and fall in there and die, you know, because that's how I felt. I don't know, like I said, I can't put it into words. There's no words to describe the way I was feeling. And so, like I said, I was talking to my stepdad's brother, and he gave me the same information he gave me last time. So I called, and I came to Yana on a Tuesday night, a newcomers meeting. And what happened there was I met a guy who's sober about a year and a half at the time, and you know, he reached his hand out to me, you know, because the way I am is I'm too really scared to ask for help. I'm too scared to ask for help, and it wasn't at that point that I thought I could do it myself, but I was just too scared. And he reached out, he asked me, you know, my name and all that, and Kate took my number, and you know, he called me the next night and just asked me how I was doing and everything. And he told me about the Tampa Bay Young People's Group, which met every Thursday. At that time, it was over the other side of, I don't know what that street is there, over the other street there. And we, you know, he told me I should meet him there. And, you know, I don't really know how I felt about, you know, I can't say I was scared to come around a bunch of young people or whatever. I didn't want to drink anymore. You know, I knew that when I came here. I didn't want to drink anymore, but I didn't. You know, I was also convinced I didn't know how to do that. I came here, and that's he introduced me to a guy who became my sponsor. It's funny because he became my sponsor really because, you know, not because I was asking everybody for help, because that wasn't really how it went down. I was there probably with my head down or something like that, and a few people talked to me, you know. I wasn't, it wasn't like people were running up to me. That wasn't my experience, but a few people talked to me and asked me, you know, my name and kind of what was going on with me, and the one guy, he kept asking me if I had a sponsor, and I didn't really know what that was, you know, but people were telling me that I needed a sponsor, and I was like, all right, you know. And so I eventually, about the third or fourth time he asked me if I had a sponsor, I said, well, you know, you want to sponsor me? And he said, well, be willing to go to any length to stay sober. And I absolutely was. I thought I was, you know. I didn't know what the lengths were going to be, but you know, You know, I didn't really, you know, when I came here, I didn't know what I was signing up for. I didn't sign up for what I've gotten, you know. I didn't want to drink anymore. That was it. And I've gotten far more than that. And, you know, and he asked me if I could take direction, you know, and I said yes. And, I've done that. Yeah, I'm good at listening to directions. I'm not really good at following them. I don't really talk back to people, you know, who are trying to help me. But I'll say I might give that a shot, you know, or something that I think they want to hear, you know. So that's what happened, you know. And I didn't jump into this thing. We started reading the big book, and we went into the third step. And when I came in here, you know, I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic church and CCD and all that stuff for a long time. And, you know, but I didn't really have any relationship with God. I didn't, and actually, to be honest with you, by the time I ended my drinking, I'd almost say I didn't really believe there was a God. I wouldn't say I was an atheist, but definitely an agnostic. And I had no idea how to, you know, how to harness the power of God, whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't, you know, to each his own, you know. And so I, you know, we went through the third step, right? And I was, like I said, I was willing to try that, you know, because nothing else was working. And so I just started praying. You know, I didn't come in here believing in God, but I started praying because that's what he told me to do. And I started praying to ask God to keep me sober in the morning, and thanking God for keeping me sober at night, you know. And that's really how it started for me, you know. And I definitely couldn't handle life, you know, simple things back then. Like I couldn't handle like putting a new tire on my car, you know. I'd freak out to my sponsor about that. I couldn't handle any of that stuff, you know. I couldn't handle life. I didn't know how to be a person, a grown up, I don't know, whatever. But I didn't, you know, I'm not naturally born with that stuff. It's taken a lot of work to get to the point to be able to do stuff like that. And I think the biggest thing that has changed in me is that I've noticed in myself anyway is that, you know, I can admit like when I'm wrong today, you know. And then it's still hard, but I feel really good when I do, when I tell somebody, you know, I was wrong, you know. Like, and I couldn't do that before, because I wasn't, in my mind, I wasn't ever wrong, you know. No matter what, if we're talking about baseball or anything, you know, I'm right, or at least I'm not wrong, you know. Maybe not always right, but you know, so we started into the steps, and it took me about, I don't remember exactly, maybe 5 or 6 months to actually get my fourth step written out, you know. But we went through that, and something definitely changed that day when we went through the fifth step. Something was different, you know, the way, and everything's been little by little for me, you know. Things, my attitude and outlook upon life has changed little by little, you know. But that day was definitely a spiritual experience for me. You know, I felt, for one thing, it made me feel a part of AA. You know, I don't know why, but I felt like I was a part of here, you know. I felt like I had something a little more real to talk to people about, you know, to talk to my sponsor about, except just, you know, complaining about problems that at this point, like when looking back, don't really matter, you know. All the stuff that I get so worked up about, but I still do it today, you know, the same stuff, but I can handle it a little better, you know. And so, you know, we did that, and it definitely changed. It had an effect on me, you know. Did the sixth and seventh that day. You know, I wrote out my eighth step. Like I said, it's been a slow process for me. I definitely didn't have my steps done in a month and a half or anything like that. You know, but I've gotten to make some amends, and that's, I don't know, it's really, to me, there's nothing like that, you know. Especially, you know, I've made some financial amends, but I have had the chance to make a couple of face-to-face amends, you know, and it's, I'm really scared going into it, but it's another one of those things, like the first time I got drunk, or you know, anything. Just the feeling is indescribable. You know, the way that I feel after I go to somebody and tell them that I wronged them, and more importantly, ask them what I can do to, you know, to make it right. You know, because I said sorry a lot, you know, to a lot of people, and I never really meant it. I wasn't really ever sorry, and I really try not to say that word anymore. Sorry, you know, I don't, because it just doesn't have much meaning for me. You know, because I've overused it. I feel like, you know, but I've gotten to do that, and you know, I can pick up the phone today. You know, when my dad and my mom call me, or even, you know, sometimes when bill collectors call me, you know, I couldn't do that before. I couldn't, and sometimes I even call them back. You know, and I for a long time I was just petrified of stuff like that. I couldn't, and I still have unopened letters from 5 years ago, because that's what I do. I don't answer the phone. I don't call people back. I care about myself. You know. But I'm able to, you know, to show up and try to do the right thing. And, you know, like I said, when I didn't pick up a drink for a spiritual experience, and I didn't come to AA to find God, you know, or to, you know, to get new friends or anything like that, or to have some place new to hang out. I came here to save my ass, you know. And, like I said, I've gotten far more than that, you know. And you know, another thing that I've noticed is I genuinely, not always, but genuinely care when people start to tell me about them. You know, before I really, you know, and that, I mean, I don't know, that's new for me. I can listen to people, and I actually care, and I want to hear that people are doing well, and I you know, I look forward to coming to this group every week. You know. And it wasn't that way at first, you know. I love this home group, and you know, it's definitely saved my life. And I don't know. I think that's about all I got.
Hi, my name is Dawn. I'm an alcoholic. I get a big thrill out of looking over a vast sea of faces like this with a feeling that possibly some small thing I did a number of years ago played an infinitely small part in making this meeting possible. I also get quite a thrill when I think that we all had the same problem. We all did the same things, we all get the same results, and from proportion to our zeal and enthusiasm and stick to it inness. If you feel pardon the injection of a personal note at this time, let me say that I have been in bed 5 of the last 7 months, and my strength has not returned as I would like, so my remarks of necessity will be very brief. But there are two or three things that flashed in my mind on which it would be fitting to lay a little emphasis. One is the simplicity of our program. Let's not lose Louse it all up with Freudian complexes, that things that are interesting to the scientific mind but have very little to do with our actual AA work. Our 12 steps, when simmered down to the last, resolve themselves into the words love and service. We understand that love is, and we understand what service is. So let's bear those two things in mind. Let us remember to guard an erring member of the tongue, and we must use it. Let's use it with kindness and consideration and tolerance. And one more thing, none of us would be here today if somebody hadn't taken the time to explain things to us, to give us a little pat on the back, to take us to a meeting or two, to have done numerous kind things, thoughtful acts on our behalf. So let us never get the degree of smug complacency so that we're not willing to extend or attempt to that which has been so beneficial to us. To our less fortunate brothers, thank you very much.